Welcome to the Living Healthy Podcast, a podcast dedicated to health, fitness, exercise, medicine, diet, nutrition, as well as eating clean, organic, and non-GMO foods. Let's live the journey through weight loss, weight management, and accomplishing goals. I'm your host, Eddie Randall. Thank you for tuning in to Season 3, Episode 8 of the Living Healthy Podcast. Your continued listening and your continued support are greatly appreciated. Please feel free to check out the latest merchandise at the Living Healthy Podcast store. The link is in the description of the podcast. Men don't think about their prostates until they are unfortunately diagnosed with prostate cancer. It's the fourth most diagnosed cancer in the world. Most men are able to survive and live a productive life if the prostate cancer is caught early. As with all cancers, if it metastasizes, then the survival rate drops significantly. According to the American Cancer Society, one out of every eight men will be diagnosed with prostate cancer, and one out of every 41 men will die due to the cancer. No one wants cancer, and thank God medicine is to the point where prostate cancer is not a death sentence. If caught early enough, you can survive and have a decent and enjoyable life. Tonight, I will be discussing prostate cancer, what it is, what causes it, and the ways that we men can fight against it. Tonight's podcast is entitled Men's Health, Prostate Cancer, and What We Can Do to Fight It. What is a prostate? Well, most men don't think about their prostate until they develop complications related to it. The prostate is located under the bladder and is about the size of a walnut. The prostate plays a role in hormone function, urine flow, and it provides nutrients for sperm and lubrication to allow it to flow from the urethra. The prostate converts testosterone into dihydrotestosterone, or DHT. This hormone starts at the fetal level and helps the male fetus to grow testes, the penis, and the prostate. As young boys, DHT also helps in development during puberty. This hormone plays a part in facial hair, body hair, and prostate growth. The urethra in men passes through the prostate gland, and the health of your prostate can regulate urine flow. Therefore, benign prostatic hyperplasia, or BPH, also known as an enlarged prostate, can cause urinary retention, frequent urination, a sensation or an urgency to pee, and prostate cancer. During ejaculation, enzymes like zinc and citric acid are secreted from the prostate and mixes with the sperm to help provide nutrients for sperm as well as lubrication. Prostate cancer and types of prostate cancer. Prostate cancer often occurs in men 65 or older. Although men in their 40s are not exempt, it is rare within that age group. The unfortunate thing is that doctors have not found a definitive cause for prostate cancer. However, there are some hypotheses that are of note. There are risk factors, such as being a man, because only men have prostates. Another risk factor is age. As men get older, cancer cells can develop in the prostate and can continue to do so as you get older. Other factors include living a sedentary lifestyle. A diet high in fat, DNA changes, and obesity are linked to prostate cancer as well. BPH, or an enlarged prostate, is also a cause. Doctors do not know what causes the prostate to enlarge. However, there are some claims that excess testosterone can cause this condition, although testosterone is very important to maintaining natural health in men. There are several types of prostate cancer. The most common type is adenocarcinoma. These cancer cells form in the epithelial gland cells of the prostate. The epithelial cells secrete the fluids that, as previously mentioned, combine with sperm to make semen, which nourishes and carries the sperm. Adenocarcinoma can break down into two types, acinar adenocarcinoma, and prostatic ductal adenocarcinoma. SNR adenocarcinoma is a slow-growing cancer and is the main type of prostate cancer that most men get. This type of cancer grows in the Acini cells of glands that line an organ. The Acini cells are just about everywhere in the body, including organs. This is a common cancer type due to the type of cells that make up the human body. You can get SNR adenocarcinoma in other parts of your body. For the sake of the podcast, obviously I'll be focusing on the prostate. The other type of cancer is prostatic ductal adenocarcinoma. This cancer is rare and unfortunately more aggressive. It develops in the cells that line the ducts of the prostate gland. What can be somewhat troublesome is that along with some symptoms such as urinary retention and difficulty urinating, is that this type of prostate cancer does not increase the PSA level. This can make it difficult to detect and diagnose. The PSA level, or prostate-specific antigen test, is the test that measures for the prostate protein levels in males. It's measured in nanograms per milliliter. PSA levels are age-specific. According to HopkinsMedicine.org, for men in their 40s and 50s, a normal level should be 0.6 to 0.7 nanograms per milliliter. Anything greater than 2.5 raises concern. For men in their 60s, the normal range is 1.0 to 1.5 nanograms per milliliter. Anything greater than 4.0 raises concern. The thing is that even though the PSA can give an indication of cancer, having an elevated PSA does not necessarily mean you have prostate cancer. There can be other reasons related to elevated levels, and further testing would be necessary. There are several other types of prostate cancer that are a lot less common. They are neuroendocrine cancer, soft tissue carcinoma, small cell carcinoma, prostate sarcoma, and transitional cell carcinoma. Neuroendocrine cancer, which is often associated with tumors, manifests in the gland cells of the prostate that are responsible for producing hormones. This type of cancer is aggressive and usually begins later on when prostate cancer has already been diagnosed and treatment has started. In other words, this cancer responds as a way for the cancer to save itself from dying off. Prostate sarcoma, also known as soft tissue prostate cancer, is another type of cancer. It originates in the mesenchymal cells outside and around the prostate. These cells can also create lesions. In addition, the PSA level will appear to be normal, which can hamper early detection. It should be noted that it is a very uncommon cancer. Next is small cell carcinoma. This cancer is extremely aggressive and has usually metastasized by the time it's been diagnosed. This form of prostate cancer is defined by its tumor growth and can resemble lung cancer cell growth. This cancer can affect the endocrine system and it grows very, very fast. As with prostate sarcoma, these cells don't produce the PSA antigens, so PSA levels are normal, which can complicate early diagnosis. Patients usually die within 1 year of being diagnosed. I wanted to take a moment to say thank you for supporting the podcast. The Living Healthy podcast is listed on many platforms, including Anchor, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Bullhorn, and many others. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. And don't forget to check out the Living Healthy podcast channel on YouTube. Also, if you have any questions or would like me to discuss a particular topic, or you'd like to be a guest on the show, please contact me at livinghealthy@gmail.com. Transitional cell carcinoma is another type of prostate cancer. Now, this type of cancer can originate in the cells that line the urethra, bladder, ureters, and prostate. It mostly originates in the prostate and spreads to other areas. This is also an aggressive cancer and exhibits local invasion of other tissues. Patients often die within 2 years of diagnosis. It's hard to talk about prostate health without mentioning BPH or benign prostatic hyperplasia. I did mention it earlier, but I just wanted to go a little further in stating that this condition happens when the prostate becomes enlarged but is not cancerous. Now, as I mentioned, the prostate is about the size of a golf ball and the urethra runs through it. When the prostate swells and enlarges, it squeezes the urethra and can cause a number of problems. These problems include an urgency to urinate, urinary retention, kidney problems, UTIs, and a weak urine stream. Early symptoms of prostate cancer. Early symptoms of prostate cancer include blood in the urine or semen, ED, fibromyalgia, difficulty urinating, urinary retention, urinary urgency, painful urination, and a weak or interrupted urine flow. Sadly, these symptoms often arise after the cancer has already developed. That being said, the survival rate for prostate cancer is almost 100%, granted that the cancer is caught early enough. A PSA test is pretty much the first test done if the doctor suspects prostate cancer. I mentioned normal levels earlier, so I won't go into them here. Imaging is also a useful tool for diagnosing prostate cancer. An MRI may be ordered, as they can allow the doctor to see the stage of growth of the tumor or tumors. An MRI fusion biopsy can also be ordered. This is where the imaging of the MRI is used to conduct an ultrasound to pinpoint the suspicious area. Whether it be a tumor or a lesion, a needle is then used to collect a sample of the questionable cells. Once the cells have been viewed and identified under a microscope, a Gleason score is used to help to determine if the cells are cancerous. Usually, two samples are taken and each gets a Gleason score. Oftentimes, the numbers are combined, and they are numbered 1 through 10, and when they are combined, they are grouped into 5 different groups. Obviously, the higher the number, the higher the group, and the greater the malignancy. Depending on the stage of the cancer, observance, chemo, or surgery would be suggested by your oncologist. Things you can do to help fight prostate cancer and BPH. The number one thing all men can do to combat prostate cancer is to do the best that we can to prevent it in the first place. This includes a healthy diet. Adding tomatoes to your diet can significantly decrease your chances of developing prostate cancer. Raw, and particularly cooked tomatoes, are great for fighting cancer. Tomatoes contain lycopene, which possesses anti-cancer properties, so adding some to a sandwich, salad, or even cooking some in rice is very beneficial. I recommend eating 1 to 2 tomatoes per day, or at least 5 per week. Next on the list is broccoli. Broccoli produces a phytochemical called sulforaphane. Sulforaphane is a defense mechanism that plants produce to help protect themselves. Consuming broccoli in sufficient amounts allows us to benefit from these properties as well. 1 cup of broccoli contains about 225 milligrams of sulforaphane. I'd recommend consuming 2 cups of broccoli per day. You can have it as a snack during the day or portioned out at lunch or dinner. Other cruciferous vegetables can provide benefits to prostate health as well. These vegetables include cabbage, Brussels sprouts, and my personal favorite, kale. As an added benefit, these same cruciferous vegetables contain anti-diabetic properties. I'd also advise to replace red meat with fish. Fish like salmon, tuna, trout, cod, and sardines are ideal. These fish are a great source of omega-3 fatty acids. They fight cancer by reducing inflammation. They work by slowing cancer cell growth and division. You can take an omega-3 supplement if fish is not as available, but I recommend that only if you do not have adequate access to fish. Other than that, you can have a can of sardines a day as a snack, a tuna fish sandwich for lunch, or a hand-sized serving of cod, salmon, trout with vegetables and rice for lunch. You can also interchange those lunch options with dinner. Green tea is the age-old beverage that is full of antioxidants and has been found to benefit the whole body. It's no surprise that it helps to fight prostate cancer as well. In particular, green tea possesses catechins, which are antioxidants that reduce inflammation, thereby reducing cancer. One such antioxidant is epigallocatechin 3 gallate, also known as EGCG. It works by targeting cancer cells in the prostate and slows their growth and tumor production. I would try to consume at least 3 cups of green tea per day. I will mention this as it's very important. I would go to the organic food store and purchase tea leaves. They're sold in boxes and canisters along with regular teas in the tea aisle. The reason I am stressing the tea leaves is because I took a class in college, I believe it was immunology, if I recall correctly. The professor told us that she loved tea, and when she went to China, she made it a point to try some of the teas that they have there. She was blown away as the tea tasted so much better as they actually use tea leaves. On top of that, she found out that when the plants are harvested and sent to the factory to trim everything so you can have the pure leaf, what they don't use is swept into piles, and then individual tea bags are made and bleached white. Then the piles of tea leaf scrap is taken and put into these individual tea bags, and they're zapped with an innocuous amount of radiation to kill any bacteria, and then they're sold in other countries like the US. Needless to say, she started buying the tea leaves when she came back to America. I will mention one more thing before moving on. Years ago, before I ever went to college and learned about how tea is sold in America, I had a tea bag bust open once and there was a fly in it. So it goes without saying that it's best to go for the actual tea leaves. Flax seeds are another thing that you can implement into your daily diet. Flax seeds contain lignans. Lignans are a group of polyphenolic chemicals, and they have the ability to fight cancer cell growth. Flax seeds also contain gamma tocopherol, which is a form of vitamin E. This also hampers cancer cell growth. I would recommend 2 to 3 teaspoons a day of flax seeds. You can have this on yogurt, ice cream, oatmeal, cereal, and you can even sprinkle it on your salad. Pomegranate juice tastes great, and it's full of antioxidants. These can reduce inflammation and hinder cancer cell growth. 12 ounces a day should be sufficient. It can be a little pricey, but overall healthy for you, so I would highly recommend it. Exercising overall is advised, as it will help with cardio, muscle mass, and weight loss. Walking, running, swimming, weightlifting, cycling, and jogging are all great ways to stay in shape. In addition, you should exercise at a minimum of 3 days a week or a maximum of 5 days a week. All the exercises I just mentioned will help with prostate health. However, specific exercises directed toward prostate health include yoga as well as Kegels. Yes, Kegels. These exercises are not just for women. They work the same way in men to strengthen the pelvic floor and reduce incontinence, which may be experienced by some men who have prostate issues. I've included a link in the description of the podcast for a YouTube video that shows a simple and effective yoga for men, as well as a link to the video of Kegel exercises for men. As always, consult your doctor and get their input before you start an exercise routine for your prostate issues. That's going to do it for episode 8 of season 3 of the Living Healthy Podcast. I hope you found this podcast informative, beneficial, and I hope it has motivated you to make the decision that you'd like to make. Please mention this podcast to your friends so we can get this beneficial health information out to as many people as possible. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.
And remember, living healthy creates a better you.